to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Read verses 116 and verse 117. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live. Let me not be ashamed of my hope. Hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. 119th Psalm, of course, is the longest of all the Psalms, and in some sense really stands apart from the other Psalms. It was written in an acrostic, that is, alphabetical arrangement. We know that it contains 22 divisions. Each division contains 8 verses. And each line of those divisions begin with the same letter, the Hebrew alphabet. In your Bibles, it probably has a Hebrew word before each division, and that's just the Hebrew letters of the alphabet. So verses 1 through 8 each begin with the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 9 through 16 each begin with the second letter, and so on. The psalm basically is a collection of prayers by the psalmist, some meditations. All have reference to the Word of God. Every verse in Psalm 119 refers to the Word of God in some way. We see that uses 8 different synonyms to describe the Word of God throughout this psalm. He uses the word law, conveying the idea of direction or instruction. He uses the word word, which simply refers to God's revelation, God's unveiling of his mind. The word commandment, presenting the word as something definite and also authoritative. He uses the word statutes, which simply means things that are inscribed. And again, it shows how the word of God lasts. It's inscribed. He uses the word judgment, which has reference to a precedence or a binding law. He uses the word precepts, which is a poetical word simply for an injunction. The word testimony, which of course is a declaration of the will of God. And he uses the word way, which is a pattern that has been marked out. But all through this 119th Psalm, in each one of these verses, you'll see one of those words used to describe the Word of God. So every verse makes reference to the Word of God. So the emphasis of the 119th Psalm, of course, is the Word of God. And if we go back to the beginning of Psalm 119, we see the psalmist spoke of several responses that he had toward the Word of God. In verses 1 through 16, there's several responses that he mentions. In verse 1, he mentions about walking in the law of the Lord. Verse 2, he mentions about keeping the testimonies of God, seeking them with his whole heart. Verse 6, he talks about not being ashamed and having respect unto all the commandments of God. Verse 7, he talks about having learned the things of God, the righteous judgments of God. He says in verse 11 that he hid in his heart the word of God. Verse 13, that he's declared it. Verse 14, he's rejoiced in it. Verse 15, he meditates. Verse 16, delights in it. And on and on you can go. You see this pattern all through the 119th Psalm, the response that the psalmist had to the word of God. And of course, the response that he had should correspond to the response that we have toward the Word of God as well. We also see that he prayed several things in regard to the Word of God. In verse 25 and several places throughout the 119th Psalm, he prays for God to quicken him. Verse 26, he prays that God would teach him his statutes, and we see the psalmist praying that prayer many times. In verse 27, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. He talks about being strengthened according to the word of God, having the way of lying removed from him, granting the law of God to him. So we see all of his prayers throughout this 119th Psalm has something to do with the word of God. And our text is one of those prayers and should always be our prayer as well. In verse 116, he says, uphold me according unto thy word. In other words, he's pleading a promise of God that has been recorded in the word. And then in verse 117, he says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. And if God would hold him up, then he would have respect unto the statutes continually. That is, that would be one of the results of God upholding him. But we want to look at that we have the same prayer here in two different forms. Uphold me and hold thou me up. They both mean the same thing, but he approaches it in two different ways. In the first request, he entreats for God's upholding for the purpose of life. Uphold me, then notice, that I may live. That I may live. Uphold me that I may live. And then in verse 117, he pleads it more on the behalf of safety. He says, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe. So the psalmist says, I need to be held up, one, to live. To live, I need to be held up. Number two, I need to be held up in order that I can remain safe. So he prays this prayer, uphold me, hold me up. What it is a prayer for God to maintain him. It is a prayer for God to sustain him. A prayer that God would preserve him and keep him. And that ought to be our prayer always. That is a prayer that we can pray in every single circumstance and every situation that you and I will ever face. We ought to be praying, Lord, uphold me, hold me up. We need it. We need it desperately. It is a prayer for every place. It is a prayer for every phase of our life. We never get to a point in our life where we do not need for God to hold us up, where we do not need God's upholding hand. It's an always needed prayer. So I want to speak this evening upon that subject, hold me up. And we want to look at it from five different aspects. First of all, this is the prayer of one who has a concern for his own spirituality. The idea of being held up is that of uprightness. Uprightness. In Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 29, we read, God hath made man upright. And we see the spiritual man all through the scriptures is described as an individual who is upright. We read of Job in Job chapter 1 and verse 1 that Job was an upright man. When you think about being held up, You're talking about being held up upright. When we read of the upright in heart, in several places in the Psalms, we read of the upright in heart. In many places, we read of those who walk uprightly. And then notice in Psalm 15, we see those who are upright, basically are those who are spiritually right with God. And if you and I are going to remain upright, we have to be, God has to hold us up. If we're going to remain right with God, God has to hold us up. And in Psalm 15 and verse 1, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart. He that walketh uprightly. And then he tells us who this individual is. He works righteousness. He speaks truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue. He nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So the upright are those who are inclined to do what is right. They are those who are bent in the direction of right. We ought to all be upright. That is, we ought to do that is what is right, but that ought to be our bent. We ought to be leaning in that direction. That is to do what is right. So it is the prayer of one who, first of all, is spiritually right, and it is the prayer of one who desires to stay spiritually right. And it ought to be the desire of everyone to stay spiritually right. So we ought to always be praying, Lord, hold me up. Hold me up. No matter what the situation is, if it's what we consider to be a good circumstance, we need for God to hold us up. If it's what we consider to be a bad circumstance, we need again for God to uphold us if we're going to remain spiritually right. Because if God does not uphold us, we will fall. Every one of us will fall. So it is the prayer of one who has a great concern for his own spirituality. It is a prayer of one who has a great concern for his own spiritual help. It's a prayer of one who is close to God, and he desires to remain close to God. So he prays, Lord, hold me up. It's the continual prayer of one who realizes the importance of his soul. When you and I realize how important our soul is, and when you and I make spirituality a priority, we will find ourselves always praying, Lord, you have to uphold me. It is the prayer of one who desires spiritual health. It's the prayer of one who has made spiritual health a priority in his life. And this is a real problem today, because there are not many today who make spiritual health a priority in their life. There aren't many of God's people who make spiritual health a priority in their life. We need to make it a priority. It needs to be our number one priority. And then we'll find ourselves always praying for God's upholding power, because we realize that spiritual health is a priority. So this is the prayer of one who desires to thrive spiritually. This is an individual who doesn't just want to remain in a certain state. He wants to thrive spiritually. Secondly, this is the prayer of one who realizes the importance of their position. Realizes the importance of standing. Realizes the importance of being right. 12 times in the 119th Psalm, the psalmist refers to himself as God's servant, as the servant of God. So he was a man who realized the importance of his position. You and I, if we fall, it's not just going to affect us. It's going to affect others. Everyone here has a realm of influence. And if you fall, it's going to influence more people than you know. More people than you realize. So we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to ourselves. We have a responsibility to God first, but we also have a responsibility to others. And it seems to me that the psalmist realized that if I fall, that is going to bring harmful consequences, not only in my own life, but is going to bring harmful consequences to the lives of others. So, Lord, it's important. It's important that I stand. It's important that I do not fall. It's important that I remain right with God, not only for myself, but for the sake of others. And it seems to me that the psalmist realized that. And again, some individuals, if they fall, it's going to have more of an impact than if others fall. But it doesn't. Whoever falls, it has an impact. And again, it has an impact wider than you can imagine. So that gives us the importance of always praying. Lord, uphold me. Lord, hold me up. Because if I fall, there's going to be dire consequences upon others. And we need to think about that. We need to think about, first of all, our responsibility to God. We have a responsibility to ourselves. But we need to also think that we have a responsibility to others. And the way we live our life, and whether we stand or fall, is going to have an effect upon others. So we need to always be praying. Lord, hold me up. Hold me up. That prayer should always be upon our lips. Thirdly, it is the prayer of one who seemed to have a realization of his danger. Seems to me that he has a realization of the danger of falling, or he would not have prayed, hold me up. Perhaps he felt himself falling when he prayed, Lord, hold me up. But here is an individual who realized that it was possible for him to fall. Don't ever think that it is not possible for you to fall. Don't ever think that it is not possible for you to commit a certain sin. Anything is possible. As long as we have this sinful flesh dwelling in us, we need God to uphold us because we can fall into any sin. And that's true of all of us. Don't ever think that you're above a particular sin. Now, some people may be more prone than others to certain sins. There's no question about that. But none of us are exempt. None of us are immune from falling into any sin. And it seems to me that the psalmist realized the danger that he was in. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 17, he says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also. We need to remember that. When we see others fall, we need to think right away, beware lest ye also. Don't think in your mind, oh, I would never do that. Beware. Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked. Oh, so and so, he's strong, he knows what he believes. Beware, any one of us can be led away with the error of the wicked. So we have to always be praying. Lord, hold me up. And he goes on, he says, and fall from your own steadfastness. We can be steadfast, we can be strong, and we can fall from it. There is a danger. And we need to realize that danger. And therefore, we need to always be praying. Lord, hold me up. Psalm 73 and verse 2, the psalmist said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. That is the prayer, that is the testimony of an individual who felt himself falling. An individual who felt himself slipping. In Psalm 94 and verse 18, he said, when I said, My foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. We've all been there. We've all been in those circumstances where we wanted to stand, but we felt ourselves slipping. We could see ourselves slipping. And that's when you need to pray, Lord, you've got to hold me up. And the psalmist said it was in God's mercy that the Lord held him up. So the danger is real. The danger of you and I falling is real. It is real because the way is slippery. Therefore, the danger is real. We might slip. We might fall. So we need to always pray. Lord, the way is slippery. Hold me up. The danger is real because of the intent of Satan. We read in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 that we have an adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The danger is real because we have an adversary. Each one of us have this adversary. An adversary is one who contends against us. It's one who opposes us and resists us. And Satan is our adversary. And therefore we're in danger. We're in danger of slipping. We're in danger of falling. And all it takes is a little slip. That's all it takes. A little slip and you can go over the cliff. One little misstep and you can have a terrible fall. And we need to always realize that one careless moment and you can fall. That's true of all of us physically, but that's true spiritually also. That's all it takes. And so we need to always be praying for the Lord to hold us up. An adversary is against the well-being of another. Satan is against our well-being. And because of that, we are in danger. An adversary is one who antagonizes. It is an opponent. And because Satan is our adversary, we are in danger. An adversary is one who has hostile feelings toward us. The devil is more powerful than you and I, and the devil has hostile feelings toward us. We have a danger, and the danger is we might slip. The danger is we might fall. We might fall into one of Satan's traps. The danger is real, and the danger is always present. Our adversary is personal. You have an adversary. You have a personal enemy. He is identified in the scriptures as Beelzebub. He is identified in the scriptures as the prince of the devils, as the prince of the powers of the air. He is identified as one who has a kingdom. All of these titles simply tell us one thing, and that is he is the head of demonic forces, and he's your enemy. He's your adversary. And that what that means is that there is some danger. We all have some danger in our lives. But we also have one who is able to hold us up. And therefore, we ought to always be praying for God to hold us up. We see that he's called the tempter. He's the serpent. He's the dragon. Whatever you want to call him, he's your enemy. He's your adversary. And he desires to sift you, he desires to devour you, he desires to destroy any holiness, any righteousness that there might be in your life. He is out to destroy it. He's out to destroy you individually, he's out to destroy your family, he's out to destroy this church, and he'll use an individual. He could use any one of us to do any one of those things. He could use any one of us to destroy or to bring down Home Baptist Church. He could use any one of us to bring destruction to our families. He could use any one of us to wreak destruction in the lives of many, to wreak havoc in the lives of many. And that's why we've got to always be praying. Lord, I need you to hold me up. We need to realize that we are in constant danger. We're always in danger. And therefore, we need to always be praying that God would just hold us up. You feel yourself slipping at times? Ask for God to hold you up. Ask for God to just stand you up and hold you up and to keep you from falling. We see, fourthly, that this is the prayer of one who is conscious of his own inability. You and I will not pray for God to hold us up until we realize that we're not able to hold ourselves up. The one who is in the most danger tonight is that individual who thinks that they have come so far spiritually that they are able to handle the danger themselves, that they no longer need God. There isn't anybody in more danger than you, if that's your position tonight. If you think that you are above a certain sin, you think you're above certain things, you're in more danger than anyone else. And unless God intervenes, you're going to fall. And your fall is going to be great. But this is a prayer of one who realizes his own inability. It's a prayer for help. No one is going to ask for help until they realize they need help. Until they realize that they can't do it themselves. And when the psalmist says, "Uphold me and hold thou me up," he's praying, "Lord, help me." And when you feel yourself slipping, you need to pray, "Lord, help me." And we all have those times when you just feel yourself slipping. And that's when you need to pray, "Lord, help me." But you need to pray that before you start to slip, that the Lord would hold us up, because many times if we're praying for God to hold us up, we won't even slip. It is a prayer for strength. Strength from another source. And it is a prayer for wisdom. Hold me up. It's a cry for God to show us the way. It's a cry for God to grant us the wisdom to know what to do. And then lastly, it is the prayer of one who has confidence in the ability of the Lord. It is a man who realizes his own inability, but it is also the prayer of one who realizes that God is able. God is able to hold me up. That is always true. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter how we might be slipping, God is able. God is able to hold us up. Not only that, if we fall, God is able to pick us up. But that being said, if we fall, there's still damage that's been done that may never be fully repaired. God is able. But don't ever forget, you're not able. But God is able to hold you up. We live in a time of, unprecedented compromise. And God's people on every hand are tempted to do a lot of things or not to do a lot of things. We need to always be praying, "Help me, Lord. Hold me up. Because if I fall, many people are going to be affected by my fall. So Lord, I need you to hold me up." And that's not feeling that we're self-important. It's a fact. If we fall, many people are going to be affected. The humility comes in to realize that we can't stand on our own. We need God to hold us up. And how many times we get in a situation and we just whisper that prayer, "Lord, you got to help me. Lord, hold me up. Feel myself slipping. Hold me up." And it's amazing how quick the Lord comes to our rescue. And there's immediate strength. There's immediate courage. There's immediate assurance that all is well. So when you feel like you're going to fall, don't. But instead, just pray. Hold me up, Lord. Hold me up. And every time you realize the danger, and that ought to be all the time, we need to be praying, Lord, you've got to hold me up. You've got to help me up. Every parent, every child, every one of us needs to be praying this prayer all the time. Our life depends upon it, and our safety depends upon it as well. So we pray tonight. We know that God is able to do it, that God would hold us up. We have no idea what you and I are going to have to face, but it's going to get worse, and we may have to face things that we never thought we would have to face. And we may have to take some stands that we never thought that we would have to. And it's going to require. You say, oh, I'll be strong enough. No, you won't. Not without God's help, you won't. You need Him to hold you up. And we need God's holding up right now. And then we always need for God to just hold us up. So if you feel yourself slipping tonight, cry out to God to hold you up. If you're standing strong, cry out to God to continue to hold you up. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.